I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine and your host for this Mobility Management podcast. Today we're talking about the science behind early intervention mobility. Joining me are Cole Galloway from the University of Delaware and Amy Morgan from Permobil, both of whom are longtime advocates for providing children with the means of achieving independent mobility at early ages. Cole Galloway, PT, PhD, is a professor at the University of Delaware. For 20 years, Cole has received federal funding from the National Institutes of Health and National Science Foundation for research primarily in infant development and in testing new training and technologies for early intervention. Cole is also the founder of Go Baby Go, an international movement to assist individuals in co-creating their world through mobility. Amy Morgan, PT-ATP, has been involved in wheelchair seating since the beginning of her career as a physical therapist. Amy worked for Cincinnati Children's Hospital, where she was involved in both outpatient and inpatient settings. This experience allowed her to work with a variety of patient populations. Additionally, Amy was the lead therapist in the wheelchair clinic, which included evaluation for equipment as well as power mobility training for young children. She's presented lectures nationally and internationally as the National Clinical Education Manager for Permobil, and she's now the Territory Sales Manager for Permobil Mobility in Central and Southwestern Ohio. Amy and Cole, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks, Lori. Welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So before we jump into the clinical conversation, I wanted to ask you about how the two of you originally got connected, because I heard it's a great story. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd like to start with this one because it is one of my favorite things to talk about. Back in 2008, I had just started with Permobil as a pediatric specialist, and I received a phone call from some guy, Dr. Cole Galloway. I'd never heard of him, and asking if we could help out with one of the individuals that he was working with in his program who really had graduated from this research robotic mobility device that they'd been doing at the University of Delaware, and he was ready for more. And of course, the more I talked with Cole, the more I realized this is almost like a brother from another mother. It was like talking to myself, and his passion was evident on getting kids moving and independently moving around their environment, getting into trouble. We clicked immediately, and we were able to step in and help out in that situation. And it, I think, has created a long-term relationship that we kind of have built upon over the past, geez, that's been almost 13 years.
Yeah.
And so I think we've been able to do some things together with the APTA pediatric section presentations, international seating symposiums all over. And it's just been a joy to work with him and get to know him better and just have some fun getting these babies moving around.
Yeah, I would agree that at the time, Go Baby Go was just being pulled out of me, and he had been in some of our research before. So I really just asked around, where should I call? People said, try Permobil. And I said, okay, what's a Permobil? And then I called them, and they said, sure, this sounds really great. And I thought at that point, oh my gosh, this whole thing is going to be way better than I thought. I mean, if everybody acts like this, then this is going to be awesome. And I've had to return back to Permobil time and time again, because sometimes not everybody gets early power. In fact, the idea of early, quote unquote, power is probably something that'll come up in today's conversation. I've been lucky. I think we've all been lucky that the Permobil and people that get it like Permobil do are willing to not just sort of talk the talk, but actually put resources behind new developing technologies and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, really push. And that's what families and kids need. And that's what I needed at that point, and I still need it. And I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Great. Now that we've set the stage, and I love that story, let's start our early intervention mobility conversation with a quick definition. So when we discuss mobility for children, and especially facilitating mobility for children who would not be independently mobile on their own at this time in their lives, when would you like to see the intervention start?
I think one of the big things that I want to emphasize, and something that I heard from Dr. Teresa Plummer the first time, I think, is, you know, all the time I was referring to this and creating presentations with the title of Early Power Mobility. And it's not really early, it's on time, right? And that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to start with from a semantic point of view, is this is not early intervention, this is on time intervention. And I think the early power mobility initial wording came from the early intervention groups and work being done on the state level for kids for speech OT and PT. They classify it as early intervention services. And again, it's intervening earlier than we had been intervening in the past, but it's on time. And so I think, you know, kids start moving immediately. I mean, they're turning heads, their eyes are moving. When they start to roll, when they start to crawl around, I mean, they're getting this input and this information that mobility provides. And mobility is the only thing that can provide some of this information for them as they develop. And so as soon as possible is my answer to this. Before 1 year old, we should be thinking about getting these kids moving independently.
I agree. I would also take a slightly different tack on the view of early, and just, Lori, reminding you or reminding the listeners that all of these issues with pediatric technology, with anything pediatrics with kids, babies, especially with the youngest sweeties, the ones that are under a year, everything comes through the view of adult perception, what adults feel that the child needs, deserves. And I think that all of us in the mobility game, whether it's editors like you, Lori, or whether it's ATPs, if it's industry manufacturers like Amy and Permobil, if it's heads of wheelchair clinics, if it's the average therapist, if it's families, whomever it is, funders, they've got to realize that by not being a kid, by not having mobility issues themselves, by not caregiving for someone with a mobility issue, many of us that are trying to, quote unquote, care for kids have to realize the significant limitations. For example, as Amy knows from both the clinical side and the manufacturing side, the ATP side, Lori, you probably have seen it in covering these issues, it's much easier to get a powered mobility device for a 16-year-old after a spinal cord injury than it is to get a powered mobility device for a 16-month-old with a spinal cord injury. So we're entering into, I think, an area where we can't say any longer, we don't know that mobility is important, that we can't get there. Yes, we can. The story that's about to unfold right now is the story of how Permobil did. They did break a barrier. And now after they've broken the barrier, they've set down a gauntlet to all of us. And if we can't do better, we need to maybe accelerate the system in the legal sense. Because providing a piece of technology at 16 years old, or 66 years old, but not at 16 months old, would be okay if you didn't know better. But now with the science, experience, clinical background, the families, we do know better. And that's, I mean, just to sort of call it out, that's age discrimination. We can't have that. And if we can educate ourselves out of that, great. If we have to legally go and show people that we're serious, we'll need to do that. But as Amy said, I love the way she said it. And I studied this, and I can say at least from the studies that I know and the studies that I review, mobility does provide things, as you said, that nothing else can. You cannot substitute that. And so timing is important, like early versus on time. But it's also this realization that we're dealing with a human right. And so to inject that to the conversation. For example, Lori, you may not realize that you're covering human rights issues when you cover mobility issues. And I think that's an important pivot, at least for me, the last couple of years, to ask myself, am I acting like this is a human right, or am I acting like this is a really interesting thing that my job is focused on, and if everything matches all the other constraints in my life, I will do the best I can. I think that's something to leave the listener with. If you love mobility, if you get it, do you really understand it's a human right? And if you do, are you, your company, your business, your colleagues, are you acting like that?
Well, that jumps right into the next question I was going to ask, which was, at what age is it important for mobility to start? At what age does mobility begin to play a significant role in a child's learning process? But I think you already answered that. as early as possible. It's really being on time at this point, because we know that there's so much to be gained and so much to be lost, I guess, if that intervention doesn't come as early as possible. So I wanted to ask now about why independent mobility is so important to learning versus having someone carry the child around or push the child around in a typical stroller. We know that all kinds of learning, including social and emotional intelligence, greatly depend on mobility. But can you explain why independent mobility is really the key here?
I used to explain it this way. If I'm being pushed around by someone else, yes, I am moving, and I am benefiting from that in some way. However, especially when you're speaking on like the visual system and the visual perceptual system, if I'm focused on something and I'm going towards an object and I'm focused on that visually and I'm moving towards it, I'm getting a lot more information versus just aimlessly being pushed around and not deciding where I'm going. So visually, I think that's one piece of it. But I also think it comes into just the development of the child's knowledge that they can do things themselves. They don't have this learned helplessness. You know, we talk about learned helplessness, where I can't do anything myself. I depend on everybody else for everything. And so just being successful at moving myself somewhere is huge for that child as they develop that confidence and that motivation to do more. And I see it in my kids. I think one of the biggest things that personally I've witnessed in having my own children is seeing this in typically developing kids. They're not riding around in a wheeled device, but they're moving. And I can see these things. It's like one of the biggest blessings I think I ever have. And I see it in my patients in wheelchairs as well. It's almost like my eyes are an MRI in their brain or something like that. And I can just see the colors lighting up. Like when their eyes are focused on something and they're going towards it, that mental activity that's happening on the cognitive level is huge. And I think that's the biggest reason that it needs to be independent.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that too. And Amy went a little bit toward the specifics that I was going to say. So I'm going to revert back to a bigger picture. Or you may not have realized that this question of like, what's the big difference between active and passive has actually been used. It's code. It's code for, I don't want to pay for something for a child. It's code for, I don't want the hassle of having to deal with an independent child. One way to think about this from a passive versus active is everyone likes to have things done for them. So you don't have to do everything in life. You do like some help. You do like to sit back and relax and be pushed around, so to speak. But that can be taken too far. I can say, well, Lori, I'll help you by picking out your clothes. Well, no, thank you. No, I'm going to pick out your clothes. Oh, okay. I'm going to suggest a haircut. In fact, we're going to go get a haircut. Well, I don't want a haircut. We're going to get one. This is the jewelry you're allowed to wear. This is the people you're allowed to hang out with. I sound like a parent of a teenager, where there's this tension, I'd like to advise / control you, and you would like to break away. What's really cool is that I get to see that in the lab at between a year and year and a half of a child that's been fully mobile, right? So you get into a GoBeVivo car or into a powered mobility device, and oftentimes the first driving directions are to the parents. Oh my gosh, look at baby Amy, she's doing so great. And then very quickly, baby Amy realizes, wait a minute, this is my world. There's a two-way street there. And so very quickly, and it's so interesting, and this is why I brought up human rights before, is mobility and human rights go together. Mobility and self go together. Mobility and respect go together. If you can't move, someone tends to move you. If you can't talk, someone tends to talk for you. And these are people that love you the most, but I think it's a human bonding, social kind of thing in families and in people that are really close to other people. They want to fill the gap for others, but you have to carve that out. And the way toddlers do that, of course, is to run away. Death and destruction. Like, where is toddler Amy? She's on the top of the refrigerator. Where is the cat? She can't be found. Right? My house is a disaster. I never see my spouse. That's what we have to have. And so Amy and I are both working really hard to build a monster, actually, to build that terrible twos, which has mobility embedded in it so that you get the wonderful fours. Passive versus active don't sound like code. They don't sound like the potential dividing line between disrespecting your own child, but you can't help it. If the child can't move and express, then the entire adult world, including parents, well-meaning clinicians, the most well-meaning healthcare or educational system will fill that gap. And almost rigidly, as Amy said, with learned helplessness, the system gets locked into feeling like this is who you are. You're a passive person. But what's so interesting in our studies is when you actually provide the child with a very simplified plastic mobility device in the form of a race car, it's still there. That capacity to carve out is still there. And so that smile that Amy talked about, that wonderment she sees from typically developing kids in her own house and around, we see that same thing when we get to kids that have never moved. And when they move, parents, family, other people that love them say the craziest things. We've never seen that kind of smile before. We've never heard that kind of laugh before. And so it's a constant reminder to the adults in the room, this is a really big deal, y'all. This looks like just mobility, but it's the core of my very being.
Well, Cole, that's a great transition, I think, to the Go Baby Go program that you created. And that program focuses on how beneficial independent mobility is for the young child. And your program modifies Power Wheel ride-on toys, the kinds that you can get at Target, and adds seating supports and alternative driving controls so that kids with disabilities can get in and drive independently. In the last decade, Go Baby Go has been replicated by universities and groups all over the world. So I wanted to talk about what your main goals were for that program when you got started, and have your goals for that program evolved over time?
Yes. Recently, people have awarded me some societal impact awards. And so I start getting questions like, as a visionary, what was your dreams at the beginning? Y'all, at the beginning, I was the one going, I don't see this. I was working in robotics, high-end robotics, a place that I rarely go now, and I tend to challenge constantly. And I was presenting in conferences, and very few conferences that Amy and I go to allow families, certainly don't center around family. But there were a couple of families, I think, that snuck in. Well, long story short, I try to deflect, bob and weave, fly under the radar, and people just found me. Families were finding me. Largely, it was moms. So we'll say moms found me, and moms begged, shamed. I'd never heard people crying for my help, literally crying. It took 6 months. 6 months for me to go, like, something has to happen. But at that point with families calling me, I didn't get it. I would not get it for a while. It wasn't like I was saying, hey, let's make a low-cost something and replicate that around the world for free. I said, ugh, what do I got to do to get these parents off my back? Don't they understand I have a day job? And it was high schooler David Glansman that said, hey, let's just go to Toys R Us and buy a car and see if we can modify it. Sure, David, you're a junior in high school. Let's do a senior project. We built it. It was super cool, but I still wasn't like, oh, I can see the future. I did a really dumb/genius thing, which I said, there's this new thing called Facebook. I'll put it on Facebook. Maybe people get off my back if I just publish the hardware list. Well, of course, I not knowing anything about social media, that was, you know, the right/wrong thing to do. And then the permobiles of the world to get it in the industry to do more. And so this wasn't me seeing a vision. This was me being the last guy on the boat, literally the last person saying, And I tried to stop Go Baby Go twice in the last 12, 15 years. It got out of hand. People were demanding things and they wanted more and more and more. And I tried to stop it and the world kind of went, oh, that's super cute. Nope, we know we are. And they saved me from myself. The Go Baby Go story is not a story of me, and I appreciate the accolades and founder is starting to. I'm getting older and older, of course, and I'm getting into where somebody's going to start calling me the originator or something. Because I founded it, but it really is not mine. As Amy knows, it's gotten way beyond me. I couldn't control this thing if I had to. Where we are now is about scaling. And scaling was to try to get to somewhere between 30,000 cars a year as a minimum. It's probably more like 150,000 cars a year, just based on the kids, the 300,000 kids that get into early intervention every year, birth to three, or that are in early intervention every year, birth to three, but the five times that number of kids that qualify but don't receive services. So how do you get 100,000 cars when you've done maybe 10,000 cars in 10, 12 years? You can't get there. The math doesn't work out. So I again stumbled on middle school STEM teachers, gave a presentation kind of going, you think you could help me try to scale this? Would you want to build it during the daytime hours of classroom? And I was hoarded again. I was just absolutely overrun by teachers across the country going, if you will get a curriculum, we'll build these things as part of daylight hours and we'll scale you. And so that's what we're doing now, both face-to-face STEM curriculum, and now we're finishing up with Toyota's help, a virtual package. So the big message to me, I mean, I've succumbed like a drowning victim now. Family's rule, and when they say do something, I do it. And I think the take-home message there is, to anyone listening, please encourage families to keep doing that, because the only way that will pressure GoBabyGo and Permobil and the other Permobils of the world to do it. We're adults. We care for kids in a sense, but we don't have the lived experience. The families are the ones that need to continue to push demand, and we'll fill it, but we'll go wrong if you're asking us to lead this.
I think one of the game-changing aspects of GoBabyGo is that these adapted toys for kids with disabilities were never really meant to take the place of wheelchairs. So GoBabyGo vehicles have a very specific purpose, not just to introduce young children to independent mobility, but maybe also to introduce their parents to independent mobility through a device that is smaller and less intimidating than a power wheelchair. So now I'm going to pivot over to Permobil's new product. Permobil recently launched the Explorer Mini, and the Explorer Mini seems to have some traits and goals in common with those ride-on cars of the GoBabyGo program. Amy, can you highlight the main features of the Explorer Mini and tell us why you're such a fan? We don't have a visual aid capability here, so could you also give us a quick description of how it looks?
Of course. Explorer Mini is truly one of the biggest accomplishments, I think, at Permobil that I've experienced. Back in 2008, when I started talking with Cole and this vision came about, it's not really a vision that started then, because I had it long before I even came to Permobil. I knew these kids needed something different and something that was truly intentionally designed for them. And so literally, it has taken almost 13 years to get this to the market. And there's been all kinds of different obstacles, whatever. But it's a very cute, it's toy-like looking. If you see it in a gym with other cars and ride-on cars and bikes and trikes, it doesn't look out of place at all. But what's really cool is it has gone through probably the most intensive design process of any of our wheelchairs, even our standing power wheelchairs. You know, I think this product truly has had so much intentionality in it, and it doesn't look like it. If you look at it, it looks like a toy. It looks like a very basic seat, but every design aspect, from the seating, the saddle seat, the tray table, the midline joystick, the non-skid place where kids can weight bear through their legs, it all has a very intentional design, and it's all developmentally inspired. And that is what is, I think, the biggest thing that gets me charged. And it's interesting, when I have therapists that I show this to the first time, their first thought is, oh my goodness, there's, you know, that's cute, but what about my kids with high tone? What about my kids with this? What about my kids with that? And I just simply say, put them in it and see. And we did some early on studies in some clinics, and by and large, all of the therapists responded back to me personally, and they were like, I cannot believe how well this supported all of my kids. regardless of what was going on with their bodies and their tone and their muscles. I think that, you know, that goes back to that intentional design. And it's things that, you know, a casual observer won't pick up on at all. And they may even say, this isn't enough, because they're used to that traditional power wheelchair seating and strapping and tying people in. The goal of this is to let kids move, let kids figure out their bodies, and do it in a way that's motivating with mobility. It's amazing to see how quickly these kids can start to use their hands to midline to get to that joystick. You know, I was always, even me, I was very quick, I think, to go to more of a switch-based system, a head switch or something else like that, because, oh, these, their tone is too high, or they have this ATNR. They can't overcome that reflex. But it's been eye-opening to me. If you just give that kid the opportunity and don't have those judgments that they can't do it, give them an opportunity to try it, they start making amazing improvements.
Yeah, I've seen the Explorer Mini, and it is cute. It's small. It's very brightly colored. It has great, very child-friendly graphics, very inviting. And I know there's been a ton of engineering that has gone into it, but outwardly, it doesn't actually look that complicated. It sort of looks like a high chair, rather, with a tray that has a midline joystick and a ball knob on that, and straddle seating with a platform that you mentioned that enables some weight bearing on the feet and legs if that's appropriate for the child who's using it. So this does not look like a wheelchair at all. And I really wanted to ask how important that aspect was. How important is the design and the aesthetics to this project?
I think it's huge. And we did a lot of our early work, and especially collaborating with Cole and some of the Go Baby Go workshops, were just that, interviewing families, interviewing kids, and seeing what they were drawn to, what they expected, what they would like to see in something like this. And it overwhelmingly were things like, it needs to look like any kid would want to get in it. And I'll tell you, my kids in the early stages were guinea pigs with this project. And I was actually loading it into my van yesterday to take to a children's hospital. And my daughter, who she's now 5, and she goes, oh, that's my favorite. I want to get in that again. And I'm like, you're too big. You can't. But it's something that kids want to be in and are envious. The other kids are kind of envious. Why can't I get in that? That's what we wanted. And we also wanted something that was really easy for parents to transport. And they didn't need a van. They didn't need an SUV. They could use this in a regular vehicle and get it around without having to have a lot of adaptations and modifications, things like that. But it's interesting, you say it doesn't look like a wheelchair, but it 100% is a Class 2 medical device, and it's the only one that's FDA regulatory cleared for this age range and population. And I think that is important to take home as well and to know this has probably more capability and adjustability and programming wise than some of the Group 2 power wheelchairs out there, some of the very basic captain seat type of power chairs. This device is more programmable than those things and more adjustable. And what's cool is you can, like you said, you can adjust it so it's more of a seated type of thing, or it can be a standing type of thing. It grows with the child. There's just one size fits all. There's not a lot of options. You just get everything. One of the cool things that I really like in the design and the way it came out is you get stickers and logo kind of stickers that you can customize that the kid gets to pick. Do you want the ocean theme or the jungle theme? You know, and you can pick which one you want. And there's a tray layout that you put that sticker on and decorate the sides and decorate the back. It's just a neat little device, but it's very sophisticated. It's a lot more sophisticated than it looks, but it's also very simple. It's a pull it out of the box, put the stickers on, put the kid in, push the button, and go. That's it. So I think that's really, really cool. One of the things that I do want to touch on, when Cole and I first got together for the little boy that we were talking about earlier, they kept telling me he just likes to pull backward, you know, and in a lot of the robotic early studies, the joystick was a pull back toward them to go forward, which makes sense because that's what kids are doing. They're in that flexion pattern and give it to me. I want to taste it. I want it to be, see what's going on. So a lot of the younger kids do instantaneously pull backwards.
One of the cool things is the electronics package allows that joystick to be programmed to pull backwards to go forward. So if the child is still in that phase where they want to keep pulling back, we can adjust that. And so we don't need to jump into those switches and those other alternative drive controls right away, because we can allow them to learn and experience the midline joystick and develop that palmar grasp and all of the convergence of their eyes and getting to hands to midline and benefiting from that developmentally. And I think it's looking at this device as a therapeutic intervention. It's a fun toy. It's obviously fun to go around and move around and be independent, but it's incredibly therapeutic. And I think that's the way we have to look at this. These one-year-olds aren't necessarily going to have to go through an obstacle course. Their goal is to hit things and figure out, why did I hit that and how do I get around it? Or, you know, try to get away from their siblings or their dog or their mom or dad. Or like Cole used to tell me, stuff bananas in the VCR, which that shows you how old and long ago we talked about this. We were still talking about VCRs.
Well, Cole, do you see the Explorer Mini as sort of a next generation or an offshoot of the Go Baby Go vehicles? Do you sort of see traces of the Go Baby Go vehicles in the Explorer Mini?
I do. When we were in Sweden, Magnus and his engineering team, which I have to shout out by name, that this engineering team, I'm not sure. I mean, Permobil's got a lot of great people, Amy and Jaime and David and other people that have been involved in this journey. The engineers could have made this an incremental device. The finance guys and girls could have made this an incremental device. The marketing folks could have done it. When Amy talks about probably having Vietnam flashbacks to the process of getting this through internal family at Permobil, but external family like FDA, there's a lot of ways this could have gone incremental, and it didn't. And it started with the engineers not wanting to engineer something that shouted, this is super cool and innovative and advanced. Many of them had kids. Some of them had kids with some special needs. So we looked into kind of like a championship team reflecting on the season. Like we looked into all having the right amount of people and coaches and trainers and fans. The Explorer Mini has behind it a lot of people that were just going to see this through and they were going to do it the right way. So the process ended up with a product that I was kind of, yes, as soon as I'm a process guy. So as I'm seeing the process go along and I'm hearing the discussion, adding little things here and there, I could tell they've got a good shot to get a product out that's going to be revolutionary. And families, once they see it, are not going to let a therapist who doesn't get it get in the way, a physician who doesn't get it get in the way, a funding agency that doesn't get it get in the way. Families, exposure from this device to families will do exactly what exposure of a Go Baby Go vehicle to families is. And one of the best things that I think, Amy, I think it was Jaime in Sweden at one of the conferences, put two and two together. We have a sort of had a fireside chat there at the conference. People are showing the Explorer Mini. People are, you know, drooling over it. And Jaime went, they're going to demand the next thing. And everybody's like, what do you mean? And I smiled and he was like, no. We can't go back. We can't go back to the other designs. Because once you have your kid in Explorer Mini, if they still need something as they age and size out, they're going to come to us and the industry demanding. They're not going to go backwards. Oh, no. We've signed on to a lineage device. This has been a true innovative pivot that at least Permobil can't go back to. Now, the other manufacturers in the industry are probably waiting around and looking and going and being smart about, like, is this really going to hit? But my guess is they can't go back either. You can't take a 150-pound World War II-style tank that you made pink and put it next to the Explorer Mini. You're going to have to say, oh, well, the Mini doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. And you're preaching to the wrong choir. You're in the wrong church now. This church demands aesthetics, sleek. They want all the functionality without. They want a cell phone, y'all. They don't want a big World War II handheld cellular device like we had in the 80s. They're never going to go back to that. So I think in terms of the future, like it or not, this little Explorer Mini, this little thing, is about to change the industry unless people decide at the adult level that kid mobility is really not that big a deal. And there's a lot going on, as we all know, in the world. So it'll be interesting if adults in general think that childhood mobility is linked to thinking, is linked to socialization, is linked to independent self, is linked to becoming a purposeful quality citizen, then this is going to be a pivot point. If it's not, if adults decide that mobility really isn't a human right until you're a certain age and can have a job or something, then it's going to be a one-off device.
So that's a great transition to my last question, which is, where does early intervention mobility go from here? It sounds like it maybe goes everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're already feeling the demands of the need for the next thing, right? We have known that, obviously, with Jaime saying that. We've known that from the beginning. It's very important that we uphold all the characteristics that we have created in the Explore Mini in future things. So when my kid sizes out of this, I have something that I want to have and I feel comfortable with, and it meets their needs at that stage. And so obviously there's always thought through this from the beginning. We've been thinking through this, and I don't know, unfortunately, I'm not in the role anymore that I was when I started with this project, where I had kind of some inside scoop, but I do know that that is something that Permobil is committed to. We intended with this product to change pediatric mobility and change the way our industry thinks about it. You know, like myself, I'm still pushing and promoting that and making sure that we stay focused on that. And so I would say that's my challenge to all of the industry, is to not just see pediatric equipment as a scaled down adult chair. Yes, it fits. Yes, they'll fit in it, but it's not appropriate. It's not intended use is not what kids are doing at that age range. It's adult use that's scaled down seating. And that's not what we want. We want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the families. We're meeting the needs of the kids, for sure. But like Cole said, you know, the adults are the ones that are making kind of these decisions. And so we need to make sure that families feel comfortable. And I like, you know, what you talked about, Lori, with the Go Baby Go program and that being an introduction to families having their kids have some independent mobility and seeing that light up and letting them know. But we have to be sensitive to what their needs are, whether it's transportation needs or whatnot. But it really is good. I think that the other thing that is positive that I can share, I know we're trying to collect some information on the funding and the funding aspect of this. And so we tried to make it priced in a range where people can afford to even purchase it on their own or fundraise for it. We've had a lot of successful stories of people fundraising to purchase the Explore Mini. But we've also had a couple of successful instances where some Medicaid programs and some private insurances have actually funded the device. The one thing that I would say and I would caution with that is, yeah, go ahead and try it. But like we talked about through this whole podcast, the timing is critical. So you don't want to send it through a funding process that's going to take 6 months and then miss out on the opportunity, that key time for that kid to be using the device. If anything, I would say, let's see if there's a way to fund it up front, and then you can try to submit it afterwards so that you're not holding the kid back for funding. But I will say that there have been some success stories in that realm. So that's encouraging.
Cole, last thoughts about where we go from here?
I think we keep pushing, and we also take a step back and ask those questions, like the Explore Mini is the product of a company and individuals that do believe that mobility is a human right, meaning it's not a whether you do this or not. It's how to do it quickly and most efficiently and more effectively. And we're not there yet. Families are trying to educate the rest of us, but society's not quite at the level of seeing that providing a child with mobility is very similar to providing a child with shelter and love and food and water. And we need to act like the Declaration of Human Rights demands us to, and also that we need to provide everyone throughout the lifespan with the ability to be mobile. 6 and 16-month-olds are not the only ones being held back. There are 60-year-olds and 66-year-olds and 56 and 46-year-olds that do not have the level of mobility. So for many, send a shockwave throughout the lifespan should also change the products that are provided and the funding. And people do get it. I mean, Amy and I see when people get that mobility is important. It's when their own mobility is challenged. So right now during COVID, I think is a really interesting time to think about the level of anxiety and isolation that everybody's feeling and the social battles over this, the freedom to move, the freedom to mask or not, the freedom to declare whether science is this way or that way. The culture has stepped up with COVID. To Amy and I, mobility is a larger pandemic than COVID ever was. That's why we're doing virtual builds now. So don't wait until your own mobility or someone you love is challenged to get it. And those of us, even in the industry, it's hard to get it without being immobile. So take this pandemic time to bottle this, all the feelings that you have of being isolated, and realize that that's what every person that folks in the mobility game, from PTs to ATPs to industry to journalists, have a choice and a chance to promote that. So thanks again for having us on, for sure. This is important.
That was Amy Morgan and Cole Galloway on the science of early intervention mobility. With that, we'll conclude our mobility management podcast. My thanks to Cole and Amy for sharing their experiences and thoughts with us today. Mobility management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes is to subscribe. You can also go onto our website at mobilitymgmt.com to listen there. Thank you very much for being with us, and we'll be back again soon.